Ann Ray with Senior Marketing Specialists, and welcome to another edition of The Human Connection. As I've always told you guys, this is one of my most favorite formats in the sense that over my 30 plus year career, I've had some extraordinary opportunities to meet and to work with and to work alongside many phenomenal and successful people from all aspects of this industry. And I think that's what I enjoy about bringing to you are these conversations with these people. So we've had everybody from the writing agent to owners of agencies to FMOs like myself to carriers to just people making an impact in this industry, and not so much to talk to them about how they made it or what they feel is their key to success. This isn't a business lesson by any means. It's not a historical session, but it's more, again, the name Human Connection. It's finding out a little bit more about how these people have made it to the level of success that they've had. And most importantly, what makes them tick? What are they doing outside the arena, if you will? They've made their career inside the arena. What are they doing when they get outside? And that's what interests me. And I hope it's what interests all of you. So today I am very, very, very pleased and excited and humbled to have as our guest one of the agents that have he and his family we have known for many, many years. I'm anxious to get to some history lessons here to remember how long it's been. But I'd like to introduce Caleb Sumner, who is the owner, president, chief bottle washer, probably trash taker outer, chief cook, everything at Sumner Insurance Services here in Sedalia, Missouri. Good morning, Caleb.
Good morning.
Do all those titles fit?
That's very accurate. Yeah. So this morning it was I need a longer computer phone or a longer phone cable this morning. You know, it's.
Oh, always, well, there you go. See, you were running after cord cables. Yep. Being president isn't all that glamorous, is it?
No, it's really not. You know, and I think that's kind of one of the hardest things is being able to delegate things out. You know, you're like, oh, I can go do that. And then if you go do all those things, then you never get done what you need to get done.
I know. It's so hard. That is probably as I've watched my own career and those around me and those following in my footsteps, that is probably one of the biggest lessons that we've all had to learn, because probably as the successful people that we are and whatever you determine as success is, you've gotten there because you get up and you go to work, right? You do work. So it's hard to say, well, now I'm just going to let somebody else do that. I did that. There's probably nobody that could do it better. Well, I very quickly learned that there's lots of people that can do it better. It's just the fact of delegating and allowing somebody else to kind of come in there. But so I love that. So for everybody that maybe has not had a chance to meet you, Caleb, or know your story, give us a quick update, a quick version of where you started, how you started, and what you're doing today.
Yeah. So I don't know if you know this, Joanne, but I was actually born in Columbia, Missouri.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So interesting story. It was in February, and there was a bad snowstorm, and I was actually born at home, first child born at home, and my dad actually delivered me.
Oh my gosh.
No. Yeah, so it was very cold, kind of a blizzard situation, and they wrapped me in aluminum foil to keep me warm and took me to the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so Wow. Kind of a crazy situation, and my dad was in the Boy Scouts, so this actually made the papers, and it actually made the papers in Chicago, which was kind of, you know, the Columbia paper and in Chicago, Wow. Which was interesting. But they asked him, so how did you know how to deliver a baby? And he said, the only medical training I had was in the Boy Scouts. Well, Yep. They took a statement and said that he learned how to deliver a baby from being an Eagle Scout. So
no, they promoted him, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's too funny. Well, so you started out in aluminum foil, huh?
Yep, that's right. So I grew up on around the Sedalia area, central Missouri, and on a farm there, and was raised on a farm. And I'm actually the third generation in the insurance business, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. My grandpa started out in the insurance business back in 1957 after he left the Army and went after Korea and got out, and was from Lebanon, Missouri, and then moved up to Sedalia and opened an office in Sedalia. So then years down the road, my dad got into the business also, and then he retired back in 2020. And so I've been in the business, worked with him multiple years there, and we had a very good, successful relationship. You know, that's something with working with family is always an interesting dynamic. You know, some people can work with their family and some people can't. I don't know if you ever saw any clips of the show Orange County Choppers, where the guys are throwing chairs through the window and kicking doors down.
So, no. Was that because they were working with their family?
Yeah, it was a father-son situation. And yeah, they had a pretty volatile relationship. But fortunately, my dad and I work really well together. And I actually I lived in Phoenix, Arizona at the time. I actually had moved out there and gone to school out there. And some major life things had changed. I had some back issues. So in January, my daughter was born. February, I had my first back surgery. And then the housing market crashed out there. So there was just a lot of things that happened all kind of at once. And that's what really brought me to the insurance business. So my dad and I partnered up at that time, and I moved back to Missouri, and we partnered up.
Wow. So Keith Sumner is one of my favorite people of all time. I could listen to Keith tell a story about anything, but I never knew your grandpa. So what, yeah. Tell me about him, and what was he like, and what type of insurance did he start out in?
So he was actually a captive agent for Pyramid Life Insurance Company. So they were selling, Medicare supplements at the very beginning, when Medicare supplements first were offered. And life insurance and your health insurance policies and things like that. And it's really interesting. My grandma and I were just visiting, he's passed on now, but my grandma and I were just visiting about it the other day. And, you know, back then you would go, they had what were called surveyors. So ladies that would go out and basically set appointments for the agents the next week. And then they would go out and work those appointments. But, you know, this was a time before cell phones or computers or any of that, you know, and she would tell me, you didn't know when he was going to be home or where he was at or any of those things, you know. Yeah. And now we can just text somebody and say, hey, I'm here, or I'm on my way, but you know, if you got a referral and went down the street to see somebody's aunt or uncle or whatever that was, you just went because you were in another town. Yeah. And you just never knew when you were going to see him back to the house. It was kind of interesting.
And they didn't have GPS either. My kids laugh about that because they don't even remember hardly a time when we didn't have some sort of GPS system. It may have been clunky in the very beginning, but my daughters kids are always asking me, like, how did you like go on vacation and just know where to go? So you bought a map, you went to the whatever town you were going to. And if you didn't have it ahead of time, you went to usually at a gas station, or sometimes you'd go to like the visitors bureau or something like that. And you'd get a map and you'd figure out a way to get there. And it just blows my kids' minds that you would go to a city or another state and not know how to just simply type in a location and it tells you how to get there. But
yeah. And actually talks to you and walks you through it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's so funny thinking about them just leaving the house in the morning and not knowing what time they'd be back, not knowing where they were. That's again, something that our kids and their kids they can't even fathom that.
Right. Yep.
You know, to not be able to text somebody or ping them even and know where they're at. Our daughters now are having kids and it's so funny that, you know, they've got the camera in their room, they've got the sleep machine, they've got the pings at this, they know what temperature it is, they know everything about what's going on in that room. And they're always laughing, like, what did you do when we were babies? So well, we put you in your crib and we shut the door and we hoped you went to sleep. Right. And they're just like, what? You didn't even know if we were crying or not? I said, well, we'd listen outside the door and, you know, if we heard you weren't, once you quieted down, we assumed you were sleeping. But that's just, it's so funny to go through the different generations and what people, you know, become so accustomed to. But I love hearing the old stories of, so your grandpa was using appointment setters long before you know, that's what people want now. People all over the country now in our industry, just like you, want people to be setting their appointments for them. And your grandpa had that figured out how many years ago? 40 some years ago.
Yeah. Yep. And it worked, you know, it worked well. And they would just go to a town and kind of canvas the town and go the next week and see people. And they had a team of agents that would go out and do that. So yeah, it's really, really a different dynamic there. And yeah, it's just interesting to think about, yeah, navigating with paper maps. And a lot of that was just, okay, go down to the gravel road down here, you know, and turn left on T Road, and they're going to be the seventh house. You know, they're, like you said, you can just punch in the address and here you go.
Yeah. Both of them have some pros and cons, though, I would say. I don't know that this way is the best way, but I certainly don't want to go back where we didn't have the technology and the GPS.
Right.
So third generation, so your grandpa was doing that. And then, so did Keith start in that because of your grandpa, or do you think he fell into it in another way?
Yeah, he started out in it definitely because of my grandpa, and actually was working with him. So they opened an office in Sedalia and were working together at Pyramid Life. And then years down the road went independent, basically representing multiple different companies. And, you know, my dad started out that way. Just across the table with people, knocking on doors and having people canvas and set up appointments. And I actually started out in the business that same way too, knocking on doors and just going out, you know, across the table from people. And the first year, I mean, I ran a lot of miles. I put a lot of miles on, just, you know, going all over the place to see people and meet people and just getting out there and visiting with people.
So when did you make the move, or Keith? Probably both of you together to have an office. When was that first started?
That was in 2009.
Okay. Yeah. So you were along. So was your office your kitchen table then at night?
It was. Yeah. So, yeah. My dad actually worked out of his house for about 25 years. He worked out of his house for. So yeah, that was pretty common. And he would go out and just meet people at their house or, you know, at a common place, a restaurant, something like that.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of agents over the years and seen the difference that makes. It's not that you weren't successful before that, but it does do something different when you have that brick and mortar, that foundation, and then you can hire the staff. And there's just something about, especially in the market that you serve with seniors, there's something about them being able to come to you and have that professional setting. And again, not that it's certainly not required, because we have a lot of agents all over the country that have made a tremendous success in their business by going to the client versus the other way. So it's what you like, it's what your clients are used to. But I do kind of see what's happened over the last 18 months here, with from COVID to lockdown to fear to things starting to open up and then they didn't. I think you probably are miles ahead of many, many agents in our industry over the last 18 months that was able to pivot and still serve your client, but serve them where they wanted to be served. You probably still had some that wanted to come in. You probably had some that said, no way, call me, and you set up a Zoom. You know, just having that full, one of the things that I always describe about you, Caleb, is really just any direction you go 100%. So setting up an office, I'm sure, was a big deal, and making sure that it had everything that your clients needed and you guys needed. And then even so, senior market is where we met first through your father and then with you, obviously. But I know there's tons of other product lines that you guys help in your community. You want to talk a little bit about just the vast array of products and services you guys offer?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. We set up an office, and when we started, there was just three of us in there, you know, just my dad and me, and we had a secretary, and, you know, we were blessed to grow and grow and grow, and grew out of that office into another one, and expanded there, and then again outgrew that office, and then moved into a different one, and then now we have multiple offices, just due to expansion there. But yeah, we've got a few different lines. So we do the a lot of the Medicare and health insurance and that line of business. We also have a property and casualty division doing home and auto and commercial and business insurance. And then we have a retirement division too, where we help people with retirement planning and 401k rollovers, IRAs, annuities, things like that.
Awesome. Awesome. So I know that you guys do part of your growth and part of the reason for your success is that you are so integrated in the community, you and your family, all the way dad, I'm sure back to grandpa as well. You know, all the different things that you're doing within the community. I know the radio show that you guys have done for years, but just being a part of the community, I think you are the epitome of what somebody thinks about when they think about my agent, my guy, my person that's going to take care of me. Talk a little bit about, for those agents maybe that are listening that haven't been able to maybe make that community jump yet of being a part of the community and being seen as the expert. What are some of the things that you did and you and your dad did to really cement that aspect of your career?
Yeah, so we do, like you mentioned, the radio show. We have a radio show that we do a couple times a month called Ask the Expert, where we go on there and just answer questions and talk about different topics that are relevant to what's going on. But I'm involved, as you mentioned, Joanne, in a lot of other organizations. I'm on the school board. I'm the current president of the Central Missouri NAHU chapter. I'm the chairman of the Medicare Advisory Council right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm involved in church. We are integrated with our local Open Door. We went and volunteered over the last month a couple times helping pack food boxes over there and just trying to help them, you know, reach out to the community and get the food out there to the people that need it. We're involved with the senior center. So there's a lot of different ways to go out there and get involved. We've got agents here in our office that are part of the Optimist Club, you know, or other groups like that. So I would just encourage anyone, whatever that looks like for you, to go out there and give back. You know, it's easy as business people to just, we could work 80 hours a week at our business easily, you know, and never run out of things to do. But you've got to take that time and take those things and actually give back some way, whatever that looks like for you, you know, and it doesn't have to be 10 different things like I'm involved in right now. My wife is like, you've got to stop doing all these things because it's too much, you know, but I like it, you know, and I like getting out there in the community and helping where I can help.
There was an interview that I was listening to the other day that I'm going to continue to steal this saying, but the big NBA player was being interviewed and they were talking about all the philanthropy that he does and the different activities that he's a part of, just like you. And the statement was made that it's not what I do on the court that matters. It's how I can impact when I'm off the court that matters. The court in his instance was the NBA. In your instance is your company, your career is what gave you that ability to have the freedom and the time and the resources and the affordability to do that. But what you do with that success, I think, really determines the impact you can make, not just in Sumner Insurance and not just in Sedalia, but look what you're doing for this industry, being a part of, like you said, the Midwest NAHU, being part of the school board. Good Lord, I would not wish that on my worst enemy.
that's a
big responsibility there. you're never going to have 100% of anything there. And then you mentioned that being part of our advisory council here at Senior Marketing Specialist for so many years. And last year we actually asked if you would, and you've done it so graciously and to become chairman of that and have led that group of other agents that look similar to your size and your makeup and your passion and humility across the country. Some of the top agents in the country are housed right here in Missouri and other states as well. But a lot of this council is made up of agents here in Missouri that you have had a great impact on their business. The last meeting that we had happened to be here in Columbia, and there was many comments made that around the table that this and what seems so small, it always seems so trivial. And it's never an item on the agenda, Caleb. It's always the side talk of, oh yeah, well, I did this one thing, and then poof, this one thing that you thought was no big deal can change somebody's career. And right. many comments around the table were made that way. And I'm sure you've been the recipient of those, hopefully, over the years, too. That's how this works. That's how this whole, that's what I want this podcast format to be. That's how our company works. That's how we work as humans. It's how this industry works, that we're so blessed. I mean, it's ridiculous, the good fortune that we've had to be able to pick this industry and survived and thrived in this industry. What we do with that is all on us. And if all we do is just have a successful career and then hang it up and go on, then shame on us. So the what you do with that success off the court, so to speak, outside your building, outside Sumner Insurance, is as much as who Caleb Sumner is, I think, is anything. And that's just a huge hats off to you, and couldn't appreciate all the work that you do enough. But so let's talk about Casey Sumner for a minute. She's, again, like Keith and Caleb, one of my favorite people to sit down and have. If there's a dinner party, you want to sit next to Casey.
That's right. You're not going to run out of conversation, for sure. You're not going to run out of conversation, that's for sure.
So you guys have four kids, ranging in age. Gosh, I would try to guess, but I would say too young. They're growing up on me. So what are their ages?
Yeah, so actually Mia just had a birthday yesterday, and she just turned 7. Yeah.
Oh, so. And that's baby.
She's the baby, yeah. Not the baby anymore, but yeah, she's still the little one. So she just turned 7. And then Molly's 8, will be 9 here pretty quick. And then Madeline is 12, and then Matthew is 14. So yeah, they're growing.
Yes. So you got almost a couple of teenagers in the house.
Yep. You're moving into that phase. I'll be honest, I'm not really looking forward to having 3 teenage girls at the same time, but
oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, luckily you have a big house and a big farm and lots of acreage, so they can just, everybody can have their spot.
We do. We've got a little bit of space to move around, so that's good. Yeah. You know, that the old saying, behind every good man is a great woman, and that is so true in my case, you know. Casey is just such an extraordinary person, and she helps me and assists me in so many ways. And I think she helps me stay grounded too, and kind of keep my direction and my focus of where I need to go. Right. And, you know, she also, between her and Katie, they help me know where I need to be when I need to be there.
They're your GPS system, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah. You need to be at the soccer game at 6 o'clock and, you know, this at that time. And so,
So talk about, you said your wife and family keeps you grounded. That reminds me of a funny story. Not too long ago, I was invited down to Dallas to the Integrity Home Office to be a part of a pretty big kickoff celebration recording thing. And they throw, you know, they pull out the red carpet. They're just so gracious and all of that. And so I was kind of, you know, feeling myself, if you will, that this is a pretty big day. You know, it's a pretty big day in my career. I felt just, you know, awesome coming home. I was just reflecting on how on earth did I get here? Like, how did, you know, this farm girl from Iowa that stumbled into this job, how did I get here? And just feeling so proud and humble and all that. And I was talking to a friend of mine on the way home that happens to work here too. And she said, I bet your family's so proud or whatever. I'm like, they're going to ask me what's for dinner when I walk in the door. they're going to want to know who's driving who where tomorrow. You know, the trash still needs to be taken out. They definitely have a way of humbling you for sure.
that's what's really interesting. You know, you mentioned we've got a farm. And right now I just counted and we've got 49 animals on our farm.
And oh my God, 49?
Yeah, from
cows. Well, let's run through some inventory there. What do you got?
Okay, so we've got 17 chickens, 2 ducks, a guinea, 4 cats, 3 dogs, 17 cows, 2 donkeys, 3 horses. So
no partridge in the pear tree?
No. Well, there's probably one flying around somewhere, but
oh my gosh. So whose responsibility is all that?
Yeah, so it's ultimately my responsibility, but you know, obviously our family's responsibility. So my daughter Molly, who's eight, she does the chickens. So that's her job. So every morning she gets up and lets the chickens out. And every day, you know, she gathers the eggs. And Molly actually sells the eggs for $2 a dozen and puts it in her bank account. So, you know, it's a great environment. And you look at, you know, you're just sitting there grinding things out at the office and just trying to get all your work done. But it's nice to have that space to come home and just kind of decompress a little bit, which is great. You know, and you mentioned when I get home, the cows want to eat. They don't care, you know, if I
had a great day.
Yeah, they don't care if I made $100 or $10,000. They just want hay. That's all they care about. So.
Yeah. So I grew up on a farm, didn't have that many animals. We were mostly cattle and hogs. And I couldn't wait. All my friends lived in town. They were all riding their bikes to see each other. And I had to, you know, have a parent drive me to, you know, the 20 minutes into town to go see friends. So I couldn't wait to get off the farm when I was a kid and especially a teenager. Fast forward, lived in Columbia, raised our family here in Columbia, which is a city to me, big city.
Right.
And all my kids ever wanted to do was to go back to the farm, to the grandparents and play on the farm. And so I'm so happy that they got kind of both sides of that. They got the ability to grow up and walk to their friend's house and ride their bike to school if they wanted, but they still have, there's something about, and it doesn't even have to be a farm. It just, there's something about being outside, working with your hands, looking up at the stars. My daughter, when she was really little, she's probably about five, and she was at my mom and dad's, which was in Southern Iowa where their farm is. And she came home she was telling my mom, I guess, she says, "Grandma, how come there's so many more stars at your house than at my house?" You know, just little observations right. about being outside and getting dirty and getting away from screens, you know, so they had that ability, your kids, I'm sure, like a screen, like anybody would, but the fact that you have that ability to go outside and there's just something about connecting with nature that I think's pretty darn good for our souls.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had a couple that I was talking to the other day and they were up in Idaho visiting their daughter. And they said, you know, you just really take for granted that you can just walk outside this time of year and just see all the green, you know, the green trees and nature and all that. And it's just, it is to sit on the back patio and just look out over that. It's just so relaxing. And, you know, when you've got a long, hard day at work, some of the most relaxing times I have is coming home and getting on my tractor and just, you know, kind of cruising around doing the chores and things like that. So,
right. Oh, that's so true. So I'll end with a question that it might throw you, but I'll go first. So I always want to know from people, what is one trait that you think has helped contribute to your success, and what's one trait that you wish you had? So I'll go first. So you kind of get where I'm going. So one trait that I feel like that I have that has led to my success is just positivity. I try to look at and see the positive in every situation, every conversation, every person. So I think it's a struggle some days, but that is definitely, I think, a strength that I have that I work on every day. Something that I wish I had long ago, I'm getting better, but I wish I had long ago is to think bigger. I come from a pretty conservative farmer background and certainly raised our kids in that type of similar type setting. So I don't think that I think big enough. And if I would have, again, I'm not complaining about where I'm at right now, but I think in my career anyway, I wish that I could dream bigger, think bigger. So I encourage now the leaders coming up behind me to make sure that truly the sky is the limit and to be thinking even bigger than if you think you're thinking big, go 10 steps farther and see where you can go. So that'd be my two. What would your two be?
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned that, Joanne. I remember you and Dan McNerney talking about BHAG, you know, big.
Yeah.
That's what I learned from you guys of, you know, and I think I've implemented that to a point of, you know, you can kind of go as far as you want to go if you just put your mind to it and head that direction. I would resound the first part that you said in the mind over matter. You know, I think that's one of my strongest traits is I am an eternal optimist. My wife will tell you I'm a glass half full type of guy, you know, no matter what, you know, the walls are falling down around you, but it's like, it's going to be fine. You know, we'll work through it. We'll find a way and we'll keep moving forward. And no matter what's happening, you know, things don't always go right. And a lot of times things go really wrong. You know, you find a way to talk through that or work through that, whatever that looks like for the scenario, and keep moving forward. And I think that's something that a lot of people maybe need to work on somewhat. And I think that's something that really gets you through some bad, hard times and gets you focused in the right direction. A trait that I wish I was stronger at or had would be to be a little more organized. I'm kind of one of these, I'm involved in a lot of things, which makes it worse. I'm one of these ADD people that's like, I'm going in 57 directions, you know, all the time. And so I kind of wish I was a little more organized and focused in on some things that way. That's something I wish I did better with.
Well, that's why we have those good people around us that keep us that way.
That is exactly right. Without my team here at the office and my wife, focusing me in on the right direction, that's what really ultimately saves that situation.
Yeah, I love it. Well, this has been a true pleasure for me. Just when I thought I knew you so well, I've learned so many things today about your upbringing and some different things that you've got going on in your life that make me just respect you and appreciate you even more so. So appreciate you spending some time here with us today, Caleb. I know everybody's going to be getting a lot of good life lessons, and we'll see the reason why you are president of this and chairman of that and chief bottle washer, chief cow milker, everything else that you've got going on, because people just trust you, Caleb, and want to be around you. So to many, many, many more years of success and partnership, Caleb. Appreciate you.
Yeah, it's definitely a funny farm, that's for sure. But I do enjoy it. I appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
Chief of the funny, CEO of the funny farm. That should be your right. Have Casey make some business cards. That would be awesome. Yeah. All righty. Well, you have a great day, Caleb. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joanne. I appreciate
it. All right. We'll see you. Right. Bye, guys. Bye.